From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Psalms 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We want to talk about those words tonight. That's that thought, a sound mind. I believe it's very important in the day and age we're living with the stress and all the stress factors of society. And you know what kind of helped in years past? The absence of TV, the absence of internet, the absence of radio, the absence of phones actually helped us stay much calmer because we weren't quite as up to the moment concerning things that were happening around the world and even in our own nation. And sometimes ignorance is bliss. But now, not only do you hear about it, read about it, you see the images, and then the stress of daily life. With all technology came additional stress, with cars and money and more responsibilities and jobs, and now just to maintain all those things, not only is dad working, mom's working, and everybody's running different ways, and kids have additional responsibilities in the school. And really, it's just easy to live extremely stressed in this day and age. And then diet doesn't help either. You have an additional factor, and your blood sugar level is going every direction. Your blood pressure level is going up and down. And next thing you know, you find yourself in a state of mind where Satan can't have your heart, and he knows that, but he can't have your mind. And Satan sets up camp, begins to make your mind his playground. And Christians are finding themselves very frustrated. And you got to be careful because this spills over into your child rearing, spills over to your family, it spills over to your marriage. So it's not that you're frustrated with each other, it's just that you're bringing those cares, concerns, and pressures into your home. And the next thing you know, the person that's closest to you becomes the lightning rod for all those feelings. You can't take out your frustrations on your boss because you need the money, you need his friendship, you need his approval. And you can't take those out on other people. You know, you're at church, you got to show up, and if someone's taking your parking spot, you had to park six blocks away, and then they didn't greet you right at the front door, you still have to smile and shake their hand and let them know that you're full of the Spirit. But when you get home and the doors are shut, you can just unleash on the lightning rod that God has given you. Amen. You don't want to do that, and God doesn't want you to do that. And God wants us to live with a sound mind. And sometimes it's just aging. How many of you have aged long enough to know that the older you get, the more difficult it is to have a sound mind if you haven't deeply established a habit, a pattern, just because there are more insecurities? You're looking at the future. You're looking at your retirement. You're looking at your children. Life seems so much more complicated. You know, as a young parent, you think, if I just get these kids to be obedient and I get them to 12 years or 18 years, if I just get them married, then you realize it never ends. There's always something new, and after marriage, and there's financial responsibilities, and then there's difficulties, and you never dreamed, but one of them ended up getting divorced, or one of them had a problem. And let me just throw this in for free. You know, if we get real biblical, it ought to cheer you up. Most of you in here ought to be cheered by Scripture, because if you look at the law of averages of those heroes of the faith, most of them weren't even batting 50% when it came to the rearing of their children. So if you have 3 out of 4 that are doing right, or if you have 2 out of 3, or if you have 4 out of 6, you still ought to lift your hands in praise to God, amen, and say, praise the Lord for those that are doing right. If you had perfect children, that'd mean you'd be the example of a perfect parent, and everyone would be asking you to write books and do conferences. You'd be traveling the nation, and we wouldn't get to enjoy your presence in this church. So praise the Lord that everything didn't go perfectly according to your plan. But you gotta thank God. But here's what happens in life. It just seems like it's one wave after the next. one problem, and you get past this problem, and here comes another one. And sometimes it's just easy to be overwhelmed at the moment. And you look at some people, it's amazing who and what we use as a point of reference in life. Usually the people that we know the least are the ones that we use as a point of reference. So out of ignorance, our mind says they're the perfect example. Either they have no problems or they handle problems very well. Well, you see them 15 minutes a year, 15 minutes a week, or 15 minutes a month. But you don't realize that they haven't slept in 3 days. What you don't realize is they're taking medication. What you don't realize, that happy face is actually a drugged face. And be careful who you use as a point of reference, because if you're using a person as a point of reference, sooner or later you're setting yourself up for disappointment, because you're going to find that they too have problems and they too are frustrated and they too are stressed out. We get so focused on ourselves, we like to think that my problems are unique. No, actually there are 7 billion people on this planet. And if a problem can happen to a person, that means it can happen to you, and most likely will. We all face death in the family. We all face sickness. We all face tragedy. Now, it's at different stages of life, and maybe it happened to you when you were a little better prepared emotionally to deal with it. But to think you're going to escape, sooner or later, you know, the good thing about kids is the fact that they still consider themselves invincible. And they eat like they're invincible, and they talk like they're invincible, and they sleep like they're invincible. But sooner or later, guess what? Your back's going to ache, and you're not going to be able to dunk the ball. You're not going to be able to run as fast. And your blood pressure is going to be a little high, and the doctor is going to say, you need to drop 15 pounds. All of us face overwhelming problems at some point. Now, when we read the verse, David said, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. What circumstances was he dealing with? Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He was dealing with trouble. Therefore, what's it say? Will not we fear? How many of you remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God? But despite knowing that, how many of you also know your human frailty, and that at some point in life, it's much easier to walk in fear than it is walk in faith? And when you see your situation as far as your health, and the doctor said, you're pre-diabetic, or your kidney's not functioning properly, or there are signs of cancer, or whatever the doctor said, it's just much easier at that point and forward to live constantly fighting fear. Or maybe the company is downsizing. Or maybe the marriage just isn't doing well. Or maybe a child has gone astray. And at night, the thing that keeps you up is not faith. Faith has never kept you up at night. It's fear that keeps you up at night. Faith doesn't cause stress. It's fear that causes stress. Faith doesn't cause frustration. It's fear. But despite the circumstance, we're not supposed to fear. Look what David said. Though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, you have to be kidding me. Though a landslide happen, I'm not supposed to be concerned. Now, how carelessly we read Scripture. Can you imagine? I was born and raised in Colorado. I remember driving through Ouray one time, and our car broke down, and we got stuck trying to fix the van, and next thing you know, we go back up Red Mountain Pass, and a landslide had taken place. Now, whether that was God's hand of deliverance or a simple delay, I don't know. I'm just thankful we weren't caught in it. But to think we're supposed to stay calm when the earth is shaking and the mountains are moving. Have you ever seen a mountain move? Now, here's what I imagine. Since you don't have the experience, I'll let my imagination run free. I'm guessing you're not going to stand there with a calm face saying, yeah, wherever you want to go to is good stuff. Help yourself. I imagine there would be fear and trembling, shaking and quaking, screaming, running, panic. And here's what we've seen. The earth is shaken. For you, the earth is shaken. For some of you, maybe it's in your marriage. Some of you, it's with a child or two. For some of you, it's been your health. For some of you, it's the death of a mom or a brother or sister or a loved one or a child. We've all, at some point in our life, had to deal with a mountain that's either been moved. Look what David says in verse 4 or verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Now, when we talk about roaring, I remember several years ago, I was out on a lake in a two-man fishing boat with three guys in it, Van Traherne, Terry Dalzite, and myself. That boat was only about this far off the water. That's usually not a problem, but a storm came up, and we were too far out, and Terry forgot to check the motor for gas, and so we let the wind kind of carry us out. He went to start the motor, and it wasn't going to start. But thankfully, he'd brought an oar, one. And it started raining. Now, folks, you know how Texas storms are. They're not that bad. But when your boat's only this far off the water, all it takes is a 6-inch wave to come in the boat. I don't know how to swim. Thankfully, we didn't have life jackets either. So I was a little bit concerned. And they gave me tackle box that we emptied out one of the trays. And I'm taking the tray and trying to get water out of the boat. And there's Terry trying to... It was very comical, but a little bit of water, a little wave, a little roaring, a little turbulence can cause fear. But what about when the waves are 8 and 10 and 12 and the swells can actually capsize a ship? What happens when there's a real storm, a real wave? What happens when David wasn't talking about minor problems? And you know David's life, and anyone in the scripture that you take a look at, how do you keep a sound mind, David, when you are fleeing for your life every day for 10 years? Now, if someone was hunting you, literally hunting you as a bird, as a prey, if I said just today in 24 hours, don't worry about it, but we're going to allow this man and his army to hunt you, track you down. If they find you today, they will kill you. Run. Those would be the most anxious 24 hours of your life. But it wasn't a day, and it wasn't a month, and it wasn't a year. It was a decade. That's when the mountains were moved and the earth shook. Can you imagine Joseph keeping his head when you've been falsely accused? You're the one that stood up. You were the one that did right. Now you're falsely accused and given a prison sentence that's open-ended. I mean, you were supposedly trying to rape an important man's wife. We're just going to let you rot in prison. Now keep your head. Keep your sanity. Don't lose your peace of mind. Try not to be frustrated. We don't think about other people's tragedy, circumstance, frustration, the swelling tide, the roaring wave, the moving of the mountains, the shaking of the earth. Paul had the right to talk about the subject. David had the right to talk about the subject. But for some reason, we like to think that our circumstance was much graver than theirs. Put yourself in their shoes for a minute. I doubt your circumstance truly compares. So the question is, what do we do when we find ourselves in trying circumstances? How? Now, this is a battle for the mind. Thankfully, God gives us a recipe to keep a sound mind. How many of you believe that? Now, God wouldn't tell you to have a sound mind if he didn't give you a recipe. My question is, can you say, I am keeping and I have kept a sound mind? I'm not talking about publicly. I'm not talking about in the presence of other Christians. I'm not talking about when others are watching. I'm asking you, have you kept a sound mind? And here's what you want to do. You want to develop a sound mind, find the recipe, put it into action before the tragedy ever strikes. Look what God tells us. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. That's controlling the mind, controlling the thoughts, controlling the emotions when tragedy strikes. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you truly believe if the waters were roaring and the earth was being removed and the mountains were being cast in the midst of the sea, how many of you believe you could actually be still? That is an amazing mental exercise, just to be still. Try it sometime. This is a day and age when no one can be still. We've equated it to godliness, running around. We've equated it to importance. If you talk to people nowadays, they want to tell you about their schedule to feel significant. We've measured our importance by who the busiest person is. And God says, here's your first exercise, be still. Now, this is a mental exercise. This is an emotional exercise. Here's what you want to teach your children at a young age in the midst of chaos, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of fear. Be still. That is a controlling of the emotions. Have you ever seen something happen? Someone falls, someone is bleeding, someone careens off their bike and through a fence and rips open their leg, and everyone is running around, talking nonsense, screaming, be still. And the crazier society becomes, and the crazier your circumstances become, it doesn't change the fact that in order to have a sound mind, we've got to start right here with, be still. Go with me to Psalms 1, verse 1. The transformation of the mind after salvation is what it takes to have a sound mind. Here's the way Paul put it in Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how does transformation take place? By the renewing of your mind. Christian growth starts in the mind. Look what it says, Psalms 1, 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, Psalms 1, 1, if there were just one text in all the Bible, one chapter in all the Bible, this one right here would change your life. You're not supposed to stand in the counsel of the ungodly. What do? I work with the ungodly. Well, don't stand in their counsel. That means sometimes you will have to avoid the break room. Don't walk in the counsel. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. This alone would keep me from putting my children in the public school or in a public university. This alone, this one text right here alone would keep me from doing that. That's the seat of the scorners, and they will destroy your faith and the faith of your children. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree, what's it say? Planted. Now, we're not going to go there, but you know what Psalms 119, 165 says. We're talking about the mind. We're talking about peace of mind. We're talking about a sound mind in the midst of crazy circumstances. Great what? Great what? Peace have they which love thy law. There is nothing that can bring peace to the soul and the heart and the mind of a person like the Word of God. So when things around you seem to be creeping out of control, that's when you meditate, not on the circumstance, not on the chaos, not on the person, not on the problem, but on His Word. And meditating on that word will grow you. And here's what we want. Plant you like a tree. Now, here's what we're seeing in this day and age. Because of people being emotionally out of control, not having a sound mind, everything blows them around like a ping pong ball on a floor, bouncing and floating. How many Christians have never gotten planted? How many of you notice those beautiful trees out front have never moved in 30-plus years, the history of Capital City Baptist Church? Rain, storms, winds, sleet, hail, a couple times snow, never moved. Planted like a tree. That promise is to those that meditate on the Word. Well, Pastor, I'm getting blown around. Well, Pastor, I'm getting panicked. Well, Pastor, peace of mind has been absent for a long time. What do I do? This is talking about absolute concentration. I'm not talking about reading the Word, because too many do that. I'm not talking about a duty. I'm not talking about devotions. I'm not talking about family devotions. I'm not talking about church time. I'm talking about during the day, one of the best mental exercises that I have in the midst of trial, tragedy, problems, I have to alleviate my mind and my stress by getting refocused. And I do that by meditating on the Word of God. Then you will be planted. Boy, we have Christians today, place to place, house to house, job to job, person to person, this marriage and that marriage, and we, Pastor, we're in 2015, it's just a mobile society. It's not about being a mobile society. It's about, are you planted? You know how that happens? You're not getting blown around. Well, what about this? Did you hear about him? Do you know what's going on? Can you believe this happened? Can you, Pastor, it shook me up. They left the church. Can you believe that family just got divorced? I can't, you know, some of you new couples that you thought were going to be married until death, and at 50 plus years of age, they got a divorce, and it shook you. If they can get divorced, anyone can get divorced. If that man can get out of the ministry, anyone can get out of the ministry. If that person can go backwards and leave the church, anyone can go backwards and leave the church. Stop using a person as your point of reference. You need to get in the Word and get planted. When you're planted, you're going to outlast the storm. Some of you missed it. How many of you noticed? Those trees have survived hundreds of storms. You know what I determined years ago? I'm going to outlast this storm. And if the storm lasts all winter, I'm still going to outlast the storm. And if the storm lasts 6 months, my character will rise above that storm. I'm going to outlast it. This too has come to pass. Guess what? At some point, whatever they're doing, whoever they're hating on, whatever they're saying, their energy's going to run out. That mean-spirited vibe that they have, sooner or later, is running out of gas. I'm going to outlast your evil spirit. My character is going to outlast your frustration. My love is going to outlast your hate. My Christianity is going to outlast your devil-filled dislike for the house of God. Hallelujah. Why is it that someone that's acting in an unchristian manner can outlast your Christianity? What's that say about your Christianity? You got to get planted, and in order to have a sound mind. Oh, how much has changed on this street? How much has changed in this? The grass has changed. The bushes have changed. The shrubs have changed. The paint has changed. The stop sign has changed. But those two objects out front that were planted have not moved. And when you get planted, what's the end result? Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Go with me to Philippians 4. So in order to have a sound mind, we have to be still, controlling our thoughts, controlling our hearts, controlling our emotions, controlling our minds. How do we do that? We meditate on the Word of God. Meditation on your problems is not going to help you stay planted. Meditation on that person that dislikes you is not going to help you stay planted. Meditation on what the doctor said and how you feel is not going to help you stay planted. Meditate on the Word of God. Number two, look what it says, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in what? Now, for those of you that are Bible scholars, you've delved deep into the Greek, and you know not only the word, but the meaning of everything. Can you be specific tonight in explaining that to me? Everything would basically mean college students. Everything? I knew they could get this right. Many have failed tests all semester long, but they nailed this one. In everything, how are we supposed to respond? With prayer, by prayer and supplication, but this is the part we forget. With thanksgiving. How are we going to have a sound mind? It's not just meditating on the word, but it is doing everything with prayer, by prayer, with thanksgiving. You know what most Christians do? They bring the most difficult circumstances to God in prayer occasionally, but not with thanksgiving. Oh, I must confess for a long time that I hadn't put this verse into practice. And this year, our theme, gratitude, has helped me drastically because I, several times a week, make a new list. Why am I grateful for this person? When I come under attack, the first thing I'm going to do, Job, his captivity turned when he prayed for his friends. So I want to pray, not until the animosity is gone, not until the frustration is gone, but I want to pray until I can be thankful for that person. I'm going to pray until I'm so thankful I can make a list of reasons why I'm thankful for that person, why I'm thankful for that circumstance. And here's the promise we have. If we, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be made known to God. What's the promise? Verse 7. The peace of God. How many like the peace of God? Now, this is a theory. When you talk to college students and you talk about the peace of God, they're young. They don't have any real problems. They're not dealing with marital problems. I hope they're not dealing with marital problems. If Caleb's dealing with marital problems, he needs to confess and tell me something that I don't know. He's not dealing with financial problems. He's not dealing with health problems. He's not dealing with all those realities of life. So when we talk about the peace of God, they can sit on the front row, shout amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I know about the peace of God. I can lay down. What's wrong with you? Why can't you sleep at night? Not me. I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep in class sitting up. I can go to sleep. I can go to sleep in class standing up. I can go to sleep helping in junior church with all the noise. I can go to sleep leading a song, says Caleb. I got the peace of God. No, that's not the peace of God. That's called youth in the absence of problems. But those of you that have been married for a while and you got kids and those kids are grown up and you got a job and you have questions about your retirement and now you're dealing with doctors and pains and health issues. Now come tell me about the peace of God. Now it's not a theory anymore. Now in order to function, you need the peace of God. Now dealing with all the stress and the chaos and the problems and the complications of just normal. It's not even like you've lived an abnormal life. You've honored God. You've done right. But with life comes complications. And now you understand how dependent you are upon the peace of God. And here's the promise. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. That's a sound mind. I was reminded again last night, thinking about this. As a pastor, there are so many blessings of ministry. And this weekend to see those that got saved, and every day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we had numerous salvations and people visiting the church, and from Muslims to Catholics to Pentecostals, people stepping into church for the very first time in their life. It's amazing what God did over the weekend, and most people didn't even realize what God was doing or who you were sitting next to or what was taking place, from teenagers to adults. And you thank God for that. But there are also problems. And I don't know your individual problems, but I do know if you're over 40, you probably need the peace of God at this point to function. If you're over 50, undoubtedly you need the peace of God. If you're over 60, you desperately need the peace. Because the older you get, the more curveballs life is throwing you, the more pains you're dealing with, the more complications now have been introduced to your life. So you better not just be meditating on the Word of God. You had better be bringing everything, by prayer, with every time you bring that up in prayer, you bring it up with thanksgiving. Lord, you know my circumstance, but I sure am thankful that you're in charge of my circumstance. Lord, you know where my daughter is at, but praise the Lord that I'm so thankful there's a church in that town and there are Christians in that town and you can guide one to her house and someone can bring up the gospel or someone can introduce her once again to the truth that would reconcile her to God. I'm just thankful that you're not limited by the circumstances like I am. I can't make that phone call, God, but I know you can send a person. God, I know the doctors have told me about this situation. I know this is medication for a long time. I know I'm going to have to deal with this pain. But I also know that you can do things the doctors can't do. And I know if I have to deal with this pain, you can bring me strength and grace that doctor can't bring me through a medication. So I just want to make sure that you know I am thankful. With thanksgiving. That produces a sound mind. Prayer does not produce a sound mind. How many of you have at least come to the point in your Christian life you've understood that prayer does not produce a sound mind? God never promised that. Prayer with thanksgiving produces a sound mind. Then verse 8 tells us the third thing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So it's not just meditating on the word. It's not just praying with thanksgiving, but it's what? Thinking on these things. What is your mind thinking on? Here's the list that God says your thought has to fit in this box. Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it worthy of praise? You know what? We'd have to turn off talk radio, television, put the newspaper aside, get off the internet to fit it into the category in 2015, in this generation, at this moment, to fit it in the category of a good report. Think on these things. Now, I notice, I hear, or I read in the moment something that's not a good report. But God tells me I'm not supposed to continue meditating or thinking upon these things. It doesn't fit in that category that will help produce a sound mind. You know why your mind's not sound? Tell me what you're thinking about. It's not lovely. It's not pure. It's frustration. It's anger. You're reliving that tragedy 482 times. Some of you didn't get divorced once. You've been divorced 1,000 times because you keep reliving it. Some of you were not wronged one time. Oh, physically once. But you've suffered that wrong 1,308 times. And you just relive it and relive it. And tomorrow you'll relive it. And next week you'll relive it. And your mind, emotionally, you're out of control and living angry and frustrated and hurt and bitter. God says, in order to have a sound mind, you have to think on these things. Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it true? Is it holy? Is it a good report? Is it praiseworthy? Think on these things. Go back with me to Psalms 46. We'll be done. Here's the way Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 10. You don't have to go there. Go back with me to Psalms 46. But Paul stated it this way. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then what did he say? Casting down. How many of you have established that habit? the wrong thought comes to mind, you cast it down. Not just those imaginations, but every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And let me just say, most of what we fear is an imagination. 99% of all fear is exaggerated. Most of us can't even remember what we feared last year. But that which kept us up, that which concerned us so much, that which had us so worried, that which was tearing us apart, that which was making us cry, it was an exaggeration. Cast it down. Bring into captivity. Now, this is a very, probably the most difficult command in all the Bible. Bring into captivity, what's it say? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a sound mind. When you're thinking on these things, you have a sound mind. So let me ask you tonight, do you have a sound mind? Now, what's it say in Psalms 46? The three commands. Be still and know. Now, when we talk about knowledge, we're not talking about simple Bible knowledge. Yes, we know we're saved by grace. Yes, we know salvation is forever. Yes, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We know that all things work together for good. I'm not talking about knowledge of the facts. I'm talking about knowledge of Him. Tell me what you know about Wendy Sullivan. What's her favorite food? Where did she go yesterday? Who are her three best friends? What did she like to eat late at night? What did she do in her kitchen that made it so beautiful? You know why you can't tell me those things? You don't know her. You would tell me you know her. You don't spend any time with her. You don't know her. Oh, you tell me. Oh, you would race up and down these hallways. You tell everybody in the church, I know Wendy Sullivan. On a superficial level. But in order to know her, you have to spend more than five. You shake her hand on the way in. You shake her hand on the way out. You see her a couple times a week. You don't know her. You don't know her fears. You don't know her hobbies. You don't know her joys. That would take time together. Then you could know her. Now, I could tell you that about my wife because we spend time together. I know where she likes to shop. I know her spending habits. I know what she enjoys, what she doesn't enjoy. I know people that are a tremendous blessing to her. You know why? I spend time with her. Be still and know. Now, if you're with the creator of the universe on a personal level, you're going to have a sound mind. You know why circumstances are so unsettling? You're walking alone. What if you walk through that problem with the Creator, the omnipotent, the omniscient, spoke the world into existence? Now, if you're not walking through that problem with Him, you're certainly going to be shook. But if He's the one that's moving the mountain, it's good to be with Him when He's moving the mountain. If He's the one that can calm the sea, it'd be good to be walking with Him when the waves are roaring. Be still and know. Not a factual knowledge, but a personal knowledge that is a relationship. Be still and know what? That I am God. Three commands. Now let me ask you tonight, in the midst of the storm, can you say, Pastor, I'm being still and I know Him. I know that He is God and He will be exalted among the heathen. Here's what Isaiah 26:3 says. Thou wilt keep him in, here's what we want, perfect peace. Hold on. What are we required to do in order to have perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, here's the opposite end of the spectrum. We're going to read two more verses. Go with me to Romans 1. When our mind is not centered on God, there's an extreme mental danger. We read this and like to think about others being in this category, not ourselves. But look what it says in Romans 1:28. even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God is not in their thoughts. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Here's what ought to concern all of us. Be still and know that I am God. So God tells me peace comes by meditating on the Word. Peace comes by prayer with thanksgiving. God gave me ways to have a sound mind. Be still and know. So if I'm walking close to God, I have a sound mind. All these things reveal when I don't have a sound mind that I'm not taking the steps, or I haven't taken the steps. So my mind's out of control. It's become Satan's playground. And here's what God says. Here's why we ought to be motivated to work towards a sound mind. Because when we're not retaining the knowledge of God in our minds, God says, okay, I'm going to back up and allow Satan his playground. He gave them over. No, God, I don't want that knowledge. I don't want that walk. I don't want that relationship. I don't want you in my mind. God says, the further you push me from your mind, the more space you give to Satan. And don't think this is only true for the unsaved. This is true for any person on the planet. So you want to know how to have a sound mind? You fill it with God. And you want to know how to give Satan room in your... He can't have your heart, that's God's. He can't have your soul, that's God's. But he can have your mind. And so many Christians have lost their mind because they've opened up the door to satanic presence, because there's not a meditation on God's Word. There's not prayer with thanksgiving. There's not a knowledge of God. And look what David said, Psalms 27, and we'll be finished. They haven't set the parameters and said, I will think on these things, bringing every thought into captivity. Here's how a Christian will speak when they're sustained by faith. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Look what it says at the end. He shall set me upon his rock. Verse 6, last phrase. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. David, how can you do this? It's called a sound mind. Christians, let me ask you this. God wants to see how you're going to perform in the valley. God wants to reveal, not to him, he knows, to you, if you have a sound mind. Every Christian in here can have a sound mind. You can't control the circumstances. You can't control the government. You can't control the world. You can't control every facet of your finances. No matter how hard you work, no matter how much you save, no matter how gifted you are in carefully spending, investing, there are circumstances beyond your control. There are limitations to your earning potential. And at some point, you still have to live with peace of mind despite those things, whether or not you have a great retirement, whether or not you have great health, whether or not you have great children, whether or not you have great circumstances. Because in your youth, you don't really value peace of mind. Matter of fact, youth actually encourages conflict. But the older you get, the more you appreciate. God says, I want you to have a sound mind.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.